Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We welcome in Zach Jackson from The Athletic, who, boy, it's November 19th, but it certainly feels like Christmas, or it feels like December in Berea, does it not?
It's one of the great days of the year when Kent State and Akron get together.
You're the worst. You're the best, but you're also the worst.
Akron has as many wins as the Browns here on November 19th, 2024.
I'm sorry.
And Kent State, a week from tonight, will become the first team to go winless in major college football in a non-COVID year since Akron in 2019. Should I keep going, or do you want to talk about
the
Browns?
Wagon wheel preview here.
The 6 degrees of Rob Iannello are fantastic, Zach. I mean, unbelievable.
Rob Iannello once gathered his team the week before the season finale and said, listen, I know everybody is talking about Ohio State, Michigan this week. But the fact is, this is the biggest game in the country because we're 0-10 and Buffalo's 0-10 and somebody's going home winless. This is a real thing that happened.
Oh, it's a shame that didn't work out. Anyway, it's a shame this isn't working out right now. Zach, how prudent would it be? Are they just taking a quarterback next year in the draft or we just got to get used to that idea and pick whoever?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get used to the idea, the going to drive discussion. Is it probably something you should do? Yes. But, I mean, are we anywhere close to that? No. And Ken, like, it doesn't make for great radio. It doesn't make for great arguments when you see your buddies on Thanksgiving next week, right? But there are so many layers to this that have failed, that are failing, that are uncertain. And until you decide who's making the picks, which direction you're going to go, how much more dead money you're going to tack on, and where you really think you can be, specifically starting with that quarterback, which you declared was the most important position and probably is, you can't even get near that decision right now. You just can't. So, is there going to be a lot of talk about it? Is that probably what you should do? Right. Yes. But there's just so much that has to go on before that, before you decide any of that. Who's your bridge quarterback? Who do you like? Who can you get? Where are you going to be? You accidentally win a couple of these games down the stretch here. That changes that, right? So do you really like these guys? And then the big thing is, you know, who's a Kevin Stefanski quarterback? And so is that your coach? So I could keep going, but there's just so many layers to that decision that there's just no answer to it right now.
Do you think the problem is more the talent acquired, or is it the coaching the talent that has been acquired?
Oh, I think a lot's gone wrong, but I think it's the construction of the team more so because, well, it starts with what looks like the worst trade in NFL history, and then it's trickled down. I mean, you had to act like he was suddenly going to start playing well. You had to go for it now, given the age and the money, and they just poured it on. So, this team doesn't stink because of the kicker, but it's like a symptom, you know? The tackling is just embarrassing. And so it's like, should they have done something in training camp? Well, they don't need a blood and guts training camp, but like they didn't have a training camp period. So this is just all kind of snowballed. And that's what's weird about it and makes it harder to even talk about, right, which you guys have to do for hours every day, is this season has been over since September. There's still seven games left. It's just this slow crawl on these different layers before they even get to the layers of how they're going to try to go forward.
Zach, you mentioned the bridge quarterback thing. It's something we've been debating here. I said if next season it's Deshaun Watson and Jameis as the quarterback room, I said I think Browns fans will be out.
They would tap out
before September. Ken made a case that Jameis is very lovable and obviously competent. You saw what kind of a heater he was on this week, and he has those games still in his arsenal. So.
I didn't say fans would be all thrilled about it. Yeah, I didn't say they'd be enthused.
What do you think, Zach?
Well, I think it's going to depend on the coach and what they think of Jameis. And then, you know, it might depend. This could be Jameis' last start, right? Because they could just say, we're going to play for the top pick. We have 10 days to get ready for the game. I don't know that that's going to happen, and I kind of think that that's doubtful to happen, but it could be. So then it's like, okay, do you think you're getting a good Jameis and he can keep you competent next year if everything clicks around him? But again, it's what does the guy picking the players, whomever that's going to be, think? And what does the coach think? And how are you going to build this thing for the future? So, you know, people who collect sound clips and the social media team wants Jameis. But I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we're back to the league just not having enough quarterbacks, right? And we've seen that Jameis can play and he can produce at times. And really, you know, if he does play well and you go back to the last time you had a real chance, even though it was 3 years ago, like maybe he could still be something. But, you know, what GM and or coach are going to put their jobs on it or really think that he can push that team to the next level, I don't know. Doesn't seem like a safe bet, but if you look at the other guys in the category that you're eventually going to be shopping in there, maybe you do got to hug the ones you're already with.
Zach Jackson joining us here in the show. Nick Chubb, he said he was like, Kevin said he was like holding him back for Thursday. Yeah. Your responses to that?
Well, they've always kind of done that, and I think it's obvious that Nick has been on kind of a pitch count. So I haven't gone back and watched the game yet. It was noticeable being there that he was out for a long period of time. Now, some of that was the end of the half in a straight sprint situation where Ford would probably play in that role anyway. So I really don't know. But, look, you know, they just weren't ever getting a healthy Nick Chubb this year, and anybody who fooled themselves into thinking that you know, was wrong. And that's the complication is he doesn't have a contract and we don't know. Only he and the doctors know, you know, where he is. So what they did around him is the problem. They built the worst running back room in the league. They signed Naheem Hines and he never got on the field. And they signed Foreman and he was just what he's always been, which is just a guy who's played three or four games every place and then fallen out of the rotation. It just happened last year. It's happened again. Right? So they should have been drafting one. They should have been looking elsewhere. And an all-in season, they should have been spending on a running back, and they didn't. I mean, Jerome Ford is a number two running back. That's what he is. That was established last year. It's right in front of our faces this year. And it's just, you know, I don't know. So I think you'll get 15 carries and maybe 18 if the game script goes your way and the weather's as bad as they say it is Thursday. But, no, you're just never going to see the best version of Nick Chubb this year. And are you ever going to see a great version again? I don't know.
We didn't hear Myles Garrett's name the entire broadcast, and you were watching that game in person. I'm sure you were monitoring, and I want to be fair to him. It looked like he was a little banged up earlier in the game, but is that someone that the Browns might need to be a little worried about? Because if they lose the buy-in from him, there are going to be a lot of questions going into next year.
Well, it was concerning because, you know, he had the bye week and he said he was much healthier. It would have made sense. And he just had that big game, you know? So in general, the Saints offensive line just mauled the Browns. But yeah, I mean, guys, there's going to be a lot of discussion about what to do with Myles Garrett. And, you know, should you move on from him as he turns 29 here in about 5 weeks and is under contract for 2 years. And you know that next year you probably can't put out a winning product. So yeah, it was a disappointing game from him. You expect better. I think we often wander into the territory of why doesn't he have three sacks every game? He just doesn't do that. But should Myles Garrett always be better than he was? And that's kind of the thing. This season has been over for going on 2 months. But you would have expected in a bad Saints team, Browns off of bye, you would have expected, especially from the defense, a much better effort. Instead, the two quarterbacks just picked them apart, and guys were wide, wide, wide open all day. And, you know, just it's not good. There's not – I mean, what other than the receivers finally looking like NFL-caliber players is encouraging about this team right now?
Well, were we wrong to be that enthused, or in some circles people were saying Browns, one of the most talented teams in the NFL? How does it go from there at the start of the year to right now going, man, it seems like they have 10 positions they need to fill by next year?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think what they did last December, it was like, okay, it validated that they have the talent, right? It validated that they have the guys because they lost so many of them and guys stepped up and delivered. But I think what's happened this year is, you know, you've seen Miles be Miles, who's still kind of in a league of his own, but it has not been his own galaxy. You saw Amari Cooper last year play at extremely high level, give you absolutely nothing this year. You saw the other receivers give you less than zero until the quarterback change was forced in week 8, right? Last year, David Njoku was a top 4 tight end, you know? It just goes on and on and on. So Denzel Ward's having a great year. and JOK was having a great year. And, yeah, there's a lot of guys with big contracts on this team that are just not having the same year. Yeah. And the talent is a problem because age is a problem and underproduction is a problem and the lack of a pipeline is a problem.
We're dancing around it here. I mean, we haven't mentioned, I don't think we've mentioned Andrew Berry's name much. Other than continuity, is there any reason to bring him back? Because it makes, I mean, you're making it sound without making it sound like there's just no viable option there.
No, I mean, we've said it before, right? It's out there. Like, there's no way you could justify him making the important picks that are going to need to be made. There's just no way. And, like, it would be different if this was year 3, Ken, right? Or it would be different if this was a lightning strike year and the quarterback was okay and then got hurt and one other guy, like, underperformed. But this was the all-in year. This was year 5, and everybody makes mistakes, and this is hard league. It's hard to do this, right? But so many things have come to the forefront. And when you just look at Mike Hall's situation – and Zach Zinter's situation, and Quentin Jefferson's no longer on the team, right? And all just this whole thing where they just pushed in and said, we're going to keep this core together. We're here. Here's our team. And here's their team. They're 2-8, right? So, yeah, I think that's probably inevitable. But, again, we don't know who the owners are listening to inside or outside the building. And, frankly, like, I laughed about this when I was recording my own podcast last night. If you're one of these guys, if you're Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry, or Kevin Stefanski, and they sit you down and say, we have one simple question to start, how do we get this fixed? How do you even answer that? Like, I don't know. And I cover this team every day, and you guys talk about them for hours every day. Like, how do you even begin to answer that? So, you know, who the owners trust and believe in and who they're asking about where they actually are is a big thing that we're just not going to have an answer to, at least not for a few more weeks. I mean, it's probably safe to say it's headed for the front office side one way in January, but man, it's only November 19th. So I don't know.
Zach, thank you very much for the time. You've certainly painted a sunny picture as always. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Read him in The Athletic. He's fantastic.
Can you imagine? Is there a chance somebody in that building said the answer is Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I'm sure we'll wonder about that coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
More people have commented and been like, oh, you got to get that when you go to Fairview Tavern. Like, you got to get this. You got to check in with that. Like, people love this place.
And when you tell them that you tried the Marty sauce, it's like you're...
Had yourself a Marty party.
You're one of the original... like where I'm now is much of this place is the Pink Floyd regalia. Yeah. Like, I'm practically a member of Pink Floyd now that I've had a Marty party.
You sound really into it if someone's like, oh, you ever go to Fairview Tavern? You ever been there? Oh, yeah. Oh, I've had a Marty party there. Yeah, yeah. I've had the Marty sauce with those wings. You can't beat it.
You know, if you get a full set of boneless wings here and you listen to the full side of Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
It actually lasts the entirety of a set of boneless wings here.
Oh, you see, I thought the ranch would turn into blue cheese or something like that. I thought
No. Okay. I think what you're talking about is hallucinogenics.
Ah.
I'm merely, it's the exact same thing as The Wall and The Wizard of Oz. Exact same thing.
Yeah.
But with Marty Party Wings and Wish You Were Here.
Okay.
The superior album. Somebody had to say it. Meanwhile,
glad you finally did.
Let's get to who's hot, who's not. Heart of Ohio Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electric. Keep warm with the Heart of Ohio. No strings attached. $96 precision furnace tune-up there. Let's start with who's hot there, JP.
All right, for who's hot, I'm gonna stay with the wide receivers for the Browns, and I think it's gonna end up cooling down tonight, and that's why I want to pick them before they end up having
the
just a the weather. It's all it is. It's got nothing to do with Cedric Tillman. It's got nothing to do with Jerry Jeudy or any of these guys. I'm just so concerned about this weather tonight. Although the weather report, the last one you gave me with only 11 mile per hour winds was nice.
Yeah,
much nicer than the 25 mile per hour forecast that we had.
Well, that's because I finally got on the right app. That's what happened.
Is that what that was?
We'll have another update coming up. All right, so that was who's hot, who's not.
Who's not, it's going to be the Browns defense. They've let me down in a way where you're seeing the Steelers with the number two defense in the NFL. This should be a mano-a-mano matchup. Like, this should be great defense versus great defense, and at this point, Nick, it just is.
That is who's hot, who's not, courtesy of Heart of Ohio Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electric. Keep warm with the Heart of Ohio, no strings attached, $96 precision furnace tune-up. So we've been talking about Adam Schefter on ESPN saying, as of right now, all things are safe here in Cleveland. They've got extensions, don't you know? Well, Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys earlier today and got into that same thing. And there was something about the way she said this that got me thinking here. Let's play Mary Kay.
I've heard all the chatter. I really don't think that that's in the cards. Now, I've been around plenty of Pittsburgh Steelers games where the coach got fired afterwards. I don't think that this is going to be one of those times. I really don't see it. I think that Jimmy's going to exercise patience and evaluate this whole thing and, take his time and take a really good look at it after the season. I really do believe that they will maintain the status quo and just get through the rest of this season. I don't think it's going to serve anybody to shake anything up after this game. They've got a lot of games coming up in short order. They've got an appearance on Hard Knocks where they're going to be all over. I don't know what the answers are going to be coming from the Browns. We are not hearing anything, of course, from Jimmy Haslam. When I do see Jimmy Haslam outside at practice and around the building, he doesn't look happy right now. But why would he look happy right now? I don't know if that means he's ready to blow everything up or he's not. But the word that I keep getting from anybody that I ask is that that's not going to be the case right now. That's not what the order of the day is going to be.
So we continue to hear phrases like right now, but are you familiar with the phrase selling a fight?
Yeah.
So my buddy Stan used to use it all the time. And basically, it's when you want to put on a good face, but you know that there are some truthful things down the road you got to deal with. So it's basically spinning something for your own good that isn't entirely true.
Okay, I took it way too literal. Okay, thank you for the explanation.
All right, so basically, I think, and I'm not saying that Mary Kay or Adam or any of these people, they are reporting what they're hearing, and I really do believe that. So this, I don't want to make it seem like they're doing this. But I think if that's what the team is selling to their reporters, I think they're selling a fight. I think they keep focusing on the right now because right now the conditions are not right to make some sort of move. And if you did, like if you fired Kevin after the Saints loss, it would have been same old Browns conversation. The Browns would have had egg on their face. No, if you're going to do this for either of them or any of them, you have to do it at the right time. And the right time is when you finish the season 3-14 or 2-15.
Okay, so I'm kind of looking at Jimmy Haslam, and because it's interesting that he, I mean, it's his decision. He's the owner, right? And it seems like he's driving the bus on all this. So I'm taking that for what it's worth. But it kind of feels like Jimmy Haslam has entered a sports radio zone. You know, one thing I think that was really good for sports radio host Nick was the idea that, and this has only really been in the past couple years,
that sports, I was always right.
Yeah, but sports radio hosts evolved. They evolved off of that. It was, I was always right, to then, oh, there's new information. And with new information, I don't have to dig my heels into anything because new information presented itself. Mm-hmm. Old sports radio hosts would dig themselves in. They'd have the new information, but they'd be like, hey, I said Darius Garland stinks, so for the next 6 months, Darius Garland stinks. No, the evolved, recent, two-year sports radio host is like, oh, new information. And I feel like that's what Jimmy Haslam is using right now. He's using the, as of right now, Kevin Stefanski's safe, he's got his job. But if they do what you think they're going to do, Nick, and you've been saying they'll finish with two wins or so, somewhere in that camp, well, that's new information for Jimmy Haslam, ergo he reserves the right to change his mind.
Here's the other thing. Do you think, because all the, like Ross yesterday accused people like you and me of getting more coaches and GMs fired.
Yeah,
it's the
our,
fans.
Well, our knee-jerk reactions after half of a decade, my goodness.
Yeah. But the idea
not
is...
Not everything takes 12 years, Ross. I mean, some things, that's why I love American Idol. Those judges are in 12 seconds. They know, can you not sing?
How much of this should matter? How much of this, I'm not talking about our show, but I'm talking about the media reaction and the fan reaction. How much should that matter to the fates of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry? Because I do think the reason why they might not be considered in hot water yet is wanting to minimize that blowback of people going, ah, same old Browns.
So I like that you bring up this question because I feel like it's something that the morning show has kind of latched on. And it was, I think the morning show, one thing that I love about their show is that I think they really do understand the Cleveland sports fan in a way, right? And they are driving the idea that you have to appease the fan. At some point, you got to do it for the fans. You have to read the room almost and acknowledge when a fan is saying enough is enough. And if not, if you lose the fan, then you lose the whole entire enterprise, you know? And I don't know that Jimmy Haslam is looking at it from that perspective.
I mean, he is trying to build a sparkling little dome.
I just don't know. If the way I look at it from Jimmy Haslam's perspective, I feel like he listened to the fans so many times and he had those knee-jerk reactions. And I think this is it. This is him. If I believe what I believe right now and that he's taking Stefanski into the offseason, this is him trying to turn over a new leaf. And this is him saying, I listened to the fan for the first 7 years that I was doing this. Now is the time to do something different. Because I think he's a smart enough guy to understand that you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. I'm not going to say the line, Nick. I'm not going to say it.
That sounds like insanity
I'm not
in the definition
it,
of it to me.
But expecting something different to happen. And I'm going to give him credit.
Microcosm of something.
I'm going to give him credit in this regard is that I feel like he looked at the Steelers. He looked at some of these franchises that give coaches a long enough time to figure it out. And I think he wants to be that.
But here's the thing. What's funny about it, I think there is an element, and it's, I don't think it's just Jimmy. I think we overcomplicate it. I think everybody's involved with the ownership group. I think it's very much more of a quorum than maybe it was 7 or 8 years ago. But that being what you just said there is interesting. Do people think Jimmy hasn't had a thought of firing these guys before?
He had to have.
And specifically,
instances where I believe in the past he would have done it, he didn't do it.
Well, like specifically the 2022 season where...
That's what we've dubbed the first mulligan.
The first mulligan because... Well, actually, the first mulligan is whatever happened with Baker and siding with Stefanski and Barry in the disillusion the disillusion of that marriage with Baker. But even the next year, you had two straight losing seasons, and 2022 was worse than 2021. You went from 8 wins to 7 wins... And by the way, the six games your $230 million quarterback played in, he looked awful, and he didn't look like he fit the system.
Right.
That was an opportunity to bail.
Well, and I think a lot of people at that time said, oh, well, now he's involved with the crew, and oh, he's buying the Bucks, and he's got all these different ventures. Guys, that wasn't it. You guys act like he had so many other things going on, he wouldn't pay attention to the thing that has made him so wealthy beyond belief. Like, he'd pay attention to the Browns. Of course he would. Of course he would. And I just think he's trying to turn over a new leaf.
216-474-0092. We're talking about Kevin Stefanski, whether his job should be on the line tonight. That doesn't mean literally he gets fired. I have to spell that out for Ken. Sometimes he takes things I say very literally. It doesn't mean he gets fired tomorrow if you lose, but the idea that if you lose tonight and you lose poorly, that it just becomes a matter of time for Kevin Stefanski. Is that what is at stake today? More on that and kickoff conditions, keys to the game. One more hour to go with Nick and JP next on 92.3 The Fan.
Super Bowl!
Super Browns!
Yeah!
That's why you get the Coming In Hotline, the free Odyssey app. You got the Listen Live button there when you favorite the fan. It's all free. It costs you nothing. It's all free. You get 92.3 The Fan on the free Odyssey. Yeah. And next to the Listen Live button is a microphone, and that's the Coming In Hotline. And you click on it, and you say whatever you want to into the ether. And, I mean, hey, listen, guys, if it's too terrible, we can't play it on the radio. So, I mean, you got to kind of clean it up a little bit. But, I mean, you got about 30 seconds. It gives you like 2.5 minutes. Don't make it 2.5 minutes. We ain't playing that. 30 seconds. Get in, get out. All right? Coming In Hotline. Or you can just do the classic Coming In Hot at 9:45 this morning. And it's November 22nd, so I can't imagine what the calls are going to be like this morning at 9:45 for Coming In Hot. Of all days for it to fall on a Friday, here we are.
Saying there'll be a second caller?
There will be a caller with a black umbrella. The mob will be sending a caller. Maybe Fidel Castro will be sending a caller. I'm not sure. Maybe Fidel Castro will call. I don't really want Fidel Castro to call in or somebody
reckless
doing
speculation.
An impression of him. That is not what I'm trying to pander to. Yes.
Sent a video. Dak Prescott on crutches after his surgery at the Cowboys game.
Don't do this.
Oh, he made it to the game.
He made it to the game.
Don't do this.
On crutches. He's having trouble walking there.
Come on.
Catch his boys in a football game.
What, you know what his replies are going to be. Why would he post anything? Don't post anything. He ain't listening to this, but don't post nothing. He ain't got to post nothing. Don't listen to Tone. I did see that JOK posted last night. All right, let's bring in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you by Shyman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, El Dangerous One.
Good morning, guys. Hey, the Browns are still mathematically alive, even though it's less than 1%
chance. In the hunt!
Yeah, baby! Let's effing go!
It was 1950 in the cold.
Just show Blake Whitehart on the TV, baby! How you feeling, Daryl? You feeling dangerous? I am.
That was a hell of a game last night, guys. That was something.
Awesome game. Do you want...
That was... Bad night for the Build the Dome crowd. Let's just put it that
way. Oh, boy. Daryl, you were Mr. Dome earlier. You were Teapot Dome earlier. Now you've changed your tune.
But the Haslams are in that club, squarely in that club, are they not?
You see what Mayor Bibb tweeted?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch, man. That snowball was fun to watch. I was actually rooting for it. I was texting with my sister in Seattle, and... because she mocks me because she knows how much I don't like snow. And I said, well, there are two exceptions, Christmas and during Browns football games. Those are the only two times that I find snow to be perfectly acceptable and fine. And I was hoping for the snowball. And boy, did we get the snowball in the second half. That was a lot of fun to watch. Guys doing snow angels, celebrating, having a snowball fight. Yeah, George Pickens being fake tough guy with Greg Newsom on the Hail Mary. It was.
Let me show you something here. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Mayor Bibb, 8 hours ago, 11:23 p.m. There's just something magical about watching the Browns beat the Steelers in the snow on the lakefront. Great win, Brownies. Then 4 exclamation points.
The state of our city is strong, and we're just
getting started.
Daryl, go.
Better get started on finding about a half a billion dollars.
Whoa. Whoa. Political punditry Daryl Ryder joining us here. Oh, we got a Van Jones of our own here on this show.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right, and then I won't. Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. All right, Jameis Winston, did he show enough he can be the bridge quarterback?
I
come on, Daryl, give me a yes. Come on.
Sure, why not?
I mean, it is more fun. He is a
it's
fun
a blast.
Guy.
You know
he
it's
is
a blast.
A fun guy it to is. Watch. He is it, a it, fun guy to talk to.
Bad if you like drinking at games, though. Let's be honest about it, right?
Daryl,
I mean, that almost slipped away from him. But the only thing that matters is the final score, and he did just enough at the end.
Well, he is a hoot, but you do. I mean, you hear the players how they talk about him.
Yeah.
And I did think this, and I'm not trying to be nasty. I mean, I got two other guys in the room trying to kick a guy while he's down, but. I did notice last night, I wrote it down in my notes, I go, gosh, what is he thinking? He's watched two backup quarterbacks, one who flew in on a midnight flight last year.
Yeah.
But two backup quarterbacks, I mean, they celebrate like crazy with these guys. Jameis was doing snow angels.
Yeah.
With Andrew Whitworth and Richard Sherman and Ryan Fitzpatrick and what's her name?
A blonde woman.
That's not the way to say it. Doggone it, what's her name? She's really good.
Charissa Thompson?
Carissa Thompson. Yeah. Carissa Thompson. They were all doing snow angels out there. I mean, Jameis is doing snow angels.
Jameis was doing the pregame speeches when Deshaun was in one piece. So, people forget that. He was doing the pregame pep talk.
Somebody just called him Blake the Anvil Whiteheart, by the way. So that's it. That's what we're calling him from here on out. So go right on ahead. Daryl, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
It's all right. No, it's a great morning to be in a great mood. Sure beats the alternative, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And they beat the Steelers. Like every.
Well, I mean, Daryl, we had, like, people were calling in, like, they were. They like wanted him to lose. Like they wanted him to teach
really?
Him. They wanted to teach him a lesson. Yeah, like they're certifiable Browns fans. Like wanted to kind of teach him a lesson. And after this all happens, like man, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I mean, to see them, the exuberance. And I mean, I ain't gonna talk. I know that Ross Tucker got into it about the culture with Nick and Jonathan. Yeah. Like I was hearing some not so fun things about the culture. And
yeah,
it just brings me a lot of heart going, hey, man, for all I know, they're going to finish 3-14 or whatever. But
it
was a blast.
They got one or two more in.
They should have. Well, honestly, Daryl, the way they played, the way Jameis played even yesterday, and I know he giveth and he taketh, right? But with the way you see them come together last night, I go, why? How are we 3-8? How are we 3-8?
Joel Bitonio said the same thing in the locker room after the game. Like, it's great, but then you're a little frustrated because they are where they're at. But, you know, two of their wins are against the Ravens and the Steelers, who are duking it out, not just to win the division, but make some noise in the playoffs. And meanwhile, over in the other locker room, the Steelers are doing what the Steelers do best, and that's be a bunch of crybabies.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know if you saw what was said about the Browns winning that game.
Oh, George Pickens?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play that coming up here. I wanted to get your thoughts on the hey-roo that happened between the two.
Yeah, and Greg, after the game, talked about Pickens being a fake tough guy, but wanting to play WrestleMania with him down the field, not even going for the football. But, I mean, that's what the Steelers do. And then how about Myles Garrett after the game basically saying, I kind of want to come out and show I'm the man. Not T.J. Watt. It be me. And he did. I mean, three sacks. He's got only the seventh player in NFL history, something T.J. Watt has not done. Only the seventh player now in NFL history with at least 10 sacks in 7 consecutive seasons. He's destined for he is a first ballot Hall of Famer right now if he were to retire, in my view. He's a sack and a half away from the coveted 100 century mark there. Included in those three sacks was a strip sack. Just an outstanding performance by Garrett. They showed up last night, and I'm sitting there watching that. And it wasn't great. I mean, The turnovers kill you. But you're sitting there watching that, Ken, saying, where has this been all season? You know, and also, too, you're thinking, man, if only they had the intestinal fortitude to put someone on the field in September.
But isn't that, but Daryl, isn't that why you
have
yesterday
all defending it? I still have people defending it. It's on the it's on social media. I don't know if it counts.
All the insiders yesterday all came out in unison with the exact same message that they're all coming back. Stefanski's coming back. Barry's coming back. And, you know, they all together, in their streamlined way of thinking, all kept at it with Deshaun. They kept at it with Deshaun. Yeah. So somehow, some way, it, in a twisted way, is it also why they're all going to be back because Haslam's going to understand that decision-making?
I guess that's one way to put it. I mean, I had put in my game preview that the conversation about Kevin getting fired if they lose the game, just that I don't know, that just wasn't happening. I don't remember if we had talked about it or not, but that was not going to happen. If they lost that game last night, Kevin Stefanski was not getting fired today. And there was a pretty good probability he was not going to be fired at the end of the season. I still believe this. I feel like there does need to be some accountability somewhere for this train wreck of a season. Now, last night was great, but the overall picture, they're 3-8, 1%, less than 1% chance to make the playoffs. This is a team that's supposed to make the playoffs. This is the team that's supposed to win in the playoffs, and they are where they're at now. Hopefully they can play some compelling, entertaining football here down the stretch. You're going to ride the Jameis Winston roller coaster. He will giveth, he will taketh, he will make you want to grab a bottle of scotch or whatever your favorite libation might be.
I had a lot of quarterbacks making me want to grab bottles. That doesn't matter.
We've had 38 other ones, right, Ken?
I still love him. I still love Jameis. I think he's a hoot, man. And I know I could be cussing him out on Tuesday morning, next Tuesday morning, but I have a blast with him. I think he's great.
At this point, though, that's all you want. You want it to be fun and entertaining. Last night was fun, and it was entertaining.
All right, Daryl. So, overall, Kevin Stefanski, how'd you think he coached last night?
I love going forward on fourth down, mostly because they were successful. They went 4-4.
Well, is that just because
if they would have gone 0-4, I'd be ripping them for it. I'll be honest.
Yeah, do you think he coaches that way if they're a 500 team yesterday instead of where they were?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin has always been that way. He is one of the most aggressive coaches on fourth down in the NFL. He's been that way since 2020. And he made that clear the day he walked in the door that this was what he was going to do. Now, he looks really good this morning because, again, they were successful. Now, if they would have went 0-4, I'd probably be sitting here and lost the game. I'd be sitting here ripping them, right? I'd be like, take the points, all that. And, it was interesting. He had no intention of sending Dustin Hopkins out there for a field goal on that final drive unless they were really, really close to the uprights. He did not feel good at all about the footing and the conditions and all those type of things. Now, I did talk to Dustin Hopkins in the locker room after, and he said, I was feeling pretty good inside 50. So I like the aggressiveness of Stefanski, and when it works, it's fantastic. When it doesn't, and they don't execute, it's frustrating. But they did just enough last night. And the best part of it is that Nick Chubb scored two touchdowns, including the game winner.
Well, let me give some credit where it's due here. I mean, we used to give the play calling credit, but we can't anymore. I hated the third down and long. Third down and one late in the first quarter or late in the fourth quarter.
I didn't like that. I didn't like them throwing as much as they did in that snow.
I didn't. Well, they started the drive out on the Pittsburgh 45 after that terrible punt. And I'm thinking, this is setting up to be great. And then it got to like third and one, third and short, and they threw that pass. I hated it. God, did I hate it. Other than that, which might have been a critical situation, obviously, I thought Ken Dorsey had a good ebb and flow to things. I did.
Yeah. And they picked their spots where they used Nick Chubb as well. And Chubb actually ended up with 20 carries, which is about the highest I thought it was going to get for him, just because they've been so careful with him coming back from those two knee surgeries. And the fans chanting Chubb, Chubb, Chubb every time they got inside the 10-yard line, wanting him to get the football. And, you know, Chubb was able to deliver with a couple of touchdown runs. But, no, I do feel like that, you know, Ken Dorsey did all right last night. Again, I would have preferred a few more runs there in the second half. I don't know that I want to be letting it rip in the middle of a blizzard-like conditions. There were actually a couple of plays. I didn't have any clue where the football was. I was looking at defenders to see their reaction to the plays as to whether or not passes were completed or not.
You were at the game. I was watching at home, and what's his name? The guy from Boswell. Chris Boswell hit a field goal, and he's like, if you can find it, it's good. Like Al Michaels made a joke, which was it was a good joke. But either way, Daryl, I hate to run you off. You've been great today. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk at you soon. We love you. Take care, friend.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
The great Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Usually I tell him I'll see him in hell, but I love Daryl right now, and I'm feeling very, very festive after a big Browns win.
I got to say, we had Andrew Whitworth on yesterday at 5, and you know he played along. He was really great. If you guys didn't listen to that yesterday, there's some specific stuff. It's worth listening. He was a lot of fun.
He was awesome, yeah.
He was the guy diving into the snow first. Like all the other TV prima donnas.
It was Sherman I was specifically pointing out there.
I will say, I don't know. I don't think he went for it. I mean, Andrew, when they went to do Snow Angels, went all the way.
Yeah.
And for a big guy to get on the ground at that age, a man is in his 40s. He's still at his playing weight. I just got to say, a lot of respect for Andrew Whitworth for that.
It felt like Jameis really wanted to do it, and then they all kind of recognized it'd be good TV, and so they were like, all right, we'll do it. But you could tell Jameis was just so genuinely happy to do it, and then he was shouting out Browns fans and everything. It was very cool.
He was the star of last night.
No question.
Pre-game, in-game, post-game, like everything he did. And I think it's very – I don't mean this in a bad way. Sometimes you use this word – calculated and it becomes a negative thing. I don't mean it like that. I think it is calculated by Jameis.
Well, they asked him on the set. They said, your pregame speeches, what you're doing even like right now with us, how much is that scripted out ahead of time? Like, do you think of that in your head on the fly, or is that something you think of long before? And you could tell that's just broadcasters right there being like, all right, How much better at this are you than I am, where I sit here and I take all the time in the world to think about these things and then say them? And he was just like, no, it comes from the heart. That's what he said. It comes from the heart. Gave a complete non-answer. But I don't. What do you think? Do you think he scripts these things out?
No, I think he is. And we have a little bit in quick hits that made me laugh really, really hard. But I do think he's riffing. I think it is true improv. I just mean in terms of the amount of exposure. He was they filmed the tunnel hype up, then he does an interview, right? Then we get the post game interview. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jameis is all over every opportunity. Where, like, I mean, we've seen him every single week on the broadcast, 4 straight weeks of him talking to the TV crew pregame. I don't remember that from Deshaun. In how many games did he play here? 17, 18?
Deshaun was never considered to be a talker in any sort of way.
But even Baker. Baker was very selective on when he'd do the pregame interview going into the game.
When things were going great, Baker was everywhere. When things weren't going great, Baker was nowhere. That was the thing with Baker.
By the way, I think it was Robert sending in, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. The shirtless Browns fans, I felt like every time, like the first time they showed the one shirtless Browns fan, the guy with the shaved head.
Not the Ken Carmen lookalike?
Not the Ken Carmen lookalike. The first one, it was right after Boswell missed the field goal.
Okay.
And then...
I like the shirtless guy tracker.
Then there's a second shirtless guy.
You take notes on this? Or what?
I noticed it very acutely. The second guy shows up, and it was right after the first touchdown.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Then it was like a turnover, and then there was like 4 shirtless guys. I'm like, if we get to like 10 shirtless guys in one section, we might win the Super Bowl in this game.
I mean, the directive was pretty clear by the crew, right? Find as many shirtless guys as you possibly can. Jax, you were at the game last night. First off, did you get shirtless?
No, no chance. I was
slim. He's way too slim.
Yeah, it's not funny if you get shirtless, by the way. No. It really is. All right, so you were in the 300 section. Was anybody else around you shirtless?
No, nobody around me was shirtless.
Oh, wow. So it's just people in the lower bowl. I got to say, you pointed out something yesterday in our show leading up to the game that ended up, I think, going in the favor of the Browns, which was that, you know, when the tickets go down that low, all the rowdies show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you heard it last night, the people who normally can't afford those tickets.
Yeah.
And I think that ended up being a real home field advantage. Now, in fairness, you heard the Steelers fans cheer, whether it was Freiermuth with the Muth thing or this, that, the other. Like, the Steelers fans were very loud, too. But, man, it felt like, I mean, dude, especially in the second half, it was raucous. That felt like a playoff game atmosphere, and the Browns are a two-win team.
Broadcast said 90% Browns. I don't know if it was that, but it was, there was an obvious home field advantage. That's what I love about Browns fans, though. Did anybody actually question whether or not they wouldn't show up for that game? Like, we talked about it going into the game. I know a lot of people discussed, would they send a message to the Haslams? Browns fans, it's just not that. It's not what it was going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen.
I think if tickets didn't come down that low, I think it would have been more sparse.
You're thinking a nice sweet spot of being so low?
Yes, I really do. I think when you're talking about nice, okay, no, the cheapest tickets to get in were $25. But when, like, the lower bowl tickets were, well, like 25, 30% of what they usually are, yeah, I mean, that's especially, like, from where if you saw that where I came from, and you might only go to one game a year,
well, that's the thing.
That's the moment.
I think it'd been enough time where the tickets have been expensive long enough. Like, I remember 2016, 2017, when everyone gave away their tickets, but also I'd go to the games, and there'd be one-tenth of the whole entire place filled up. Like, it just never got there. It's been long enough now where we've been packing places. Enough people want to get into these games.
So the Kevin Stefanski apologist, who I've been arguing with all week, not Ross Tucker, that's coming up.
Yeah.
Have been wondering, like, what am I going to say about Kevin Stefanski? Because I got plenty of tweets last night. I don't want to hear about culture ever again.
Yeah, I've been wondering,
steady
by the way.
Steady there. They're 3-8. Like, let's let this one breathe a little bit. Listen, I don't want to do the thing that some shows do, where they just come out in every game, they run a million miles an hour in one direction.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to do that. They were 2-8 going into last night. What I will say is, well done, Kevin Stefanski. That is a game that even if you, like, no one legitimately expected you to win. I know Vegas called it a 3.5 game. That had more to do with the weather than anything else. And the way that they won, the way that they played, was really impressive. I also weight games against the Steelers and Ravens more than I do against the Saints or the Eagles, or honestly, even a game like the Raiders or the Giants.
I thought we counted it as 4 wins yesterday.
I think it was 6 wins. 6 wins. Because it's wins. 2 AFC, 2 for the AFC North, and 2 for the rivalry.
There we go.
But the way that they played was really, really impressive. And the thing that I do appreciate about Kevin is that he is 10-10 against Baltimore and Pittsburgh in his time here. That might not sound great because it's 500. That is years ahead of where anybody else has ever been since 99. And so to win that game, it does put a pin in, is Stefanski on the immediate hot seat? You still got 7 more games.
A lot of season left, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, like, I will say, like, I have not had as much fun watching a game in a minute, because there were no expectations. It was just pure fun. There were shenanigans abound in the game, and kudos to Kevin for getting that win. If I'm going to knock the guy for the team giving up at the end of the Saints game, I got to give him credit for having the team ready to play on Thursday night, because that Saints game could have turned into a 15-20 point loss last night.
Yeah, and you know, the disheartening thing on it, and obviously I give Kevin a bunch of credit. I'm the guy a month ago that was sitting there talking everything up under the sun about how great I think Kevin Stefanski is, and then he's just let me down in the previous couple weeks. The disheartening part for me is trying to figure out, Myles Garrett, when he wants to, can be that. And him in the Saints game being basically just a no-show in the box score. And we used injuries as an excuse, but when he got up for that game in a way that I don't know that you can just get up for every single game like that. And so it's going to come down to them getting up. They have it in them. They all have the talent. It's on Stefanski now to get them to play that way every single game.
I will say, if you are a Stefanski apologist, if you think that none of this is any of his fault, last night is a win for you. I'll also say, if coincidentally you're a Stefanski apologist and you got problem with Andrew Berry, yeah, it kind of feels like a loss for Andrew Berry last night because this
Andrew Berry is the biggest loser of last night.
Yeah, I think you're right. But go ahead and go in on that because that's actually your take.
Yeah, in the race of we need to have our pound of flesh, Kevin Stefanski after last night. I mean, it seems like he's about as safe as it gets. Now again, you mentioned 7 games left. We'll see what happens, but Andrew Berry. I don't think they're Bert and Ernie. I really don't think they're tied together that way. At the end of the season, we got to find one of them. And you heard it this morning. Ken he went on and on about how he doesn't trust Andrew Berry to make picks. And that's going to be the spotlight. We're going to shift to, all right, if this let us down and Stefanski can coach these guys the way he did last night, then where exactly did this problem for this season start?
Yeah, so everything that we analyze when it comes to Kevin and Andrew, everything's going to be, can you counteract the Deshaun trade? And with Andrew, there's no move to go on the other side of the scales of justice.
Yeah.
With Kevin, the way this team has played in the division this year, and they have been bubkis outside of it, but you've got a big win at home that saved a lot of people's feelings for at that moment against the Ravens. Now you do this on national television, and again, you've got 2 more matchups against Baltimore and 1 more against Cincinnati. So again, that can swing the other way. But that is something. Like, hey, guys, bleak season, but you still did do your work in the division. I think that carries a lot of weight, and I think it should carry a lot of weight for
Kevin.
It does.
I don't agree with the idea that Barry's work is finished and done. You're right in that he can't make any moves in the chessboard, but watching like Jerry Jeudy, for instance, be the player that he's been in the previous couple weeks, that goes from being did he get that trade right, to, oh, wow, look at that. And he was early on the deal, too. There's little ways like that. Cedric Tillman, for instance, if he continues to play the way that he has, he goes from one of the, he can't draft third-round receivers to, well, get that nice pick by by Andrew Berry to get Cedric Tillman. So although you're right in that all his moves are completed, I do think what we can start to see here, if they do take over, is some of his pieces start to look pretty good.
Well, and it's not just those 2 wide receivers. It's guys like Diabate, who had a nice night last night. It's all of his draft picks. MJ Emerson, I actually thought, had some really good, nice moments as well last night. It's going to have to be in totality. Yeah. But with Kevin, you can just go, man, look at the Baltimore game, look at the Pittsburgh game. If they continue that trend, I mean, if the only games they win the rest of the way are divisional games, and you've got 4 left, if you go 2 out of 4 in those division games, that means you're 4-2 in division games this year. That would be, actually, sorry, math is hard because that means you have 3 left. So if you go 2-1, that means you would go 4-2 in the division. That's something that I think counteracts the Deshaun side of things. Mike in Mentor, real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
All right, I'll try to be real quick. You guys were talking about your favorite parts of the game. I got to say, Jameis was absolutely made for the spotlight, and the NFL knows that. Him last night before the game in the tunnel when he goes, "We're not here for the lights. We're not. It's not about the lights. It's not about the camera. It's not about the action. It's about the action."
That was great.
And then him making that tackle on that fumble. I didn't even realize until after the game that I was watching replays that he made that tackle. That guy is made. We're way better team with him than Deshaun. We're 2-2 with him, and one of the games was a fluke against New Orleans, I think.
Mike, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. I don't think anybody else saw the comedy. So there's the Jameis chases down, gets the tackle. What happened after, where the whistle blew like 30 seconds earlier, and Jameis is like swatting at the ball and the ball shakes loose, and Jameis just goes octopi, like where he's just like trying to get a ball that is not fumbled. The play is dead. But Jameis is just in his own world. Was so funny. I was laughing so damn hard at it. And by the way, one of the things that Mike just mentioned, that's going to lead off Quick Hits next on 92.3 The Fan.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You'll hear him tomorrow night, Browns against the Steelers on the Browns Radio Network. He's the always traveling Andrew Siciliano.
Remember, guys, this
plane can accommodate your bags going in sideways, so please do that.
That's good to know. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're sitting on an airplane.
I am. Good morning, guys. Yes,
good
just
morning.
Boarded. Yes, ready to go. Cold weather gear out of the closet and out of storage this morning on the way to the airport. Stopped by storage and got the winter stuff that had been put away for the year. We are good to go.
That's outstanding news. Do the people around you enjoy you doing a radio hit while you're sitting on the plane?
You know what? I mean, I'm just like one of probably 3 dozen people on this plane on their phone right now. So, yeah, no, I think I'm blending in nicely. The lady next to me is also on the phone, so I'm just a normal citizen.
Who's she talking to?
Well, it's very California, right? It's very Southern California.
Is it? I mean, we're on the way to Cleveland. I feel like it's like when you're traveling from, you know, traveling abroad. It's like once, let's say you're in London. Once you step on the plane in London, you are back in the United States if you're an American carrier.
True.
So I like to look at it that way as well. Once I step on the plane here, wherever I am going, on my way to Cleveland, I am already in Cleveland. I mean, half this plane is Browns gear anyway.
So. There you go.
That's cool.
Now we're talking.
Always. Always.
Those folks haven't looked at the standings, right? I made him laugh.
Hey, you know what? I love him. No. I love the woman sitting next to me just said the exact same thing. I'm always with the Browns. I'm never leaving.
There we go.
Thank you, ma'am.
There we go.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have you formally met this person sitting next to you?
I think you should.
I did when I sat down. You always have to make nice with the person next to you. Don't you guys do that?
I always say hello, try to be courteous, and then
I always get from the people next to me.
You can tell when they've got their hoodie up, they don't want to talk to you, so you're just kind of, you're like, give them the head nod.
You know what?
Go.
Yes. This lovely lady struck up a conversation, so I was more than grateful to return the conversation.
Nice. All right.
So is she an East Sider or a West Sider? Have you learned anything about her yet or no?
I don't know. She's on the phone. I'll ask when she gets off.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll find out, yeah.
So,
that's how you get
I'm guessing East Side because she said she knows Zagura. So.
Well, who doesn't? Yeah.
All right.
You have a quarterback who's throwing the ball like crazy, 395 yards, and yet you still put up 14 points. How is this offense going to start scoring some points, Andrew?
I don't know. That was just bonkers. And I said
it was weird.
Sorry, guys, during the game too. Like you look at the final stat sheet. You know, like, let's come back for our final thoughts. Final thoughts, Nathan. If I told you that he'd throw for 395, two scores, no picks, a rating, and I'm not a big ratings guy, passer rating guy, but like 106 or whatever the heck it was, and I would have lost by 21. I would have said punch me in the face. I don't believe that. Not that I want anyone to punch me in the face right now. But you get my point. NFL, no, StatSync did the research on this. I think it was only the second such performance like in the last 75 years, and that is 390 yards, two touchdowns, a rating over whatever, and no picks. Like, that hadn't happened in years and years and years, like decades. It was that kind of performance. And the lose by 21 part of it. So, I can't imagine anyone's going to throw for 395 in that muck and mire tomorrow. So I'll have what Nick Chubb is having when he said, I think he was asked yesterday, is this rain weather? No, is it running weather tomorrow? He said it is always running weather.
Yes.
So I like that attitude.
I don't want to say, do you think they quit the fourth quarter last game? But do you think that we got the total ability of this team in the fourth quarter last game? And that do you think that if people are calling them out for that, that maybe there will be some motivation against a team that most of the fans hate around here going into the game on Thursday night?
I think that second part of your question is the most important part of the question. It's the Steelers. It's prime time. The Browns have beaten the Steelers 3 out of the last 4, right, at home. And we've done it in prime time. This is the time that you got to play your best game. This is the time that you want to play your best game. I'm free about have to. Everyone's watching, and any NFL player will tell you this, whether it's Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night. Thursday night's a little bit tougher on the quick turnaround, and it is hard physically. I mean, it is hard on your body. But when everyone is watching, when the entire league is sitting at home on its collective couch, that's when you need your best game, and there is no better time to beat the Steelers than this one. And guys, this is the final home game in the division as well. Right? You already beat the Ravens. Didn't beat the Bengals, obviously. Could have, would have, should have. That was the game where Deshaun got hurt and Jameis actually came in slinging it. DTR had his touchdown drive as well. This is the final division home game. So, you know what? This is the time for the good performance. Let's get it.
Andrew Siciliano joining us. You'll hear him with Nathan Zagura calling play-by-play tomorrow night, Browns against the Steelers on the Browns Radio Network. Is Jameis doing more than putting himself in the conversation as a viable starting quarterback here next year?
I think he is, and let's go back to the everybody is watching thing. I think he is absolutely staking a claim for a starting job somewhere. Is it here? Who knows how the quarterback thing shapes up? I have no idea. But I think Jameis has proven that somebody should give him a job. If not, he is going to get a pay raise somewhere as a legitimate, ready-to-start number two in a situation where you badly need to overpay for a number two or pay well. Look at the Dolphins this year. I think they dropped the ball organizationally by not having a viable backup for a quarterback with the injury and concussion history like Tua. And when Tua went down, their season crashed because they didn't spend the money on a backup. Mm-hmm. You know, backup quarterbacks are some of the most important people on any roster. You could argue the most important guy on any roster behind the number one quarterback. So Jameis is doing a good job of writing his 2025 story right now.
I see the Steelers playing really well with Russell Wilson, and I think, gosh, I love veteran quarterbacks who kind of have inspiration. And I think Jameis is in that too. Jameis obviously not as much success as Russ during his career, but I kind of like that whole storyline, Andrew. And we're seeing it working in a couple of spots. Sam Darnold's been pretty good. You know, Kirk Cousins getting another look, not as good lately, but I just don't think you can turn your back on guys who can throw the football pretty well.
No, Jameis is, and I know some people will cringe and take it another way if I make the Joe Flacco comparison. Jameis is a guy who is not going to be sitting on his couch at 38 waiting for the phone to ring. He's a beloved teammate. He is showing he can still sling the ball, and he will have work for as long as he wants to work. Guys, the reception he got in New Orleans last week, I was getting off the bus right behind him and walking up the tunnel after we got through security right behind him. I mean, you had people up against the railing, just like the Caesars Superdome workers up against railings there, cheering him like he was the king coming home to the castle.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
The people were legitimately, they had their phones out cheering for him as he walked through the tunnel to the locker room. So people love him wherever he goes, and he's always got to find work.
Looking forward to tomorrow night. Looking forward to listening to you. Not looking forward to what could be crummy weather, but I'm hoping that we see a performance similar to what we saw for three quarters last week. We got about 30 seconds. Yeah. Can they pull it off?
Yeah, absolutely. They can pull it off. The Steelers, look, the road team, the Thursday night football always favors the home team, even if it's only a 2.5-hour bus drive. So, yes, absolutely, and they beat him at home here last year. I know it was a much different team and a much different season. But, yes, Russell Wilson, you can get to him. He could turn the ball over. If he's going to be doing those little whirly bird running around in circle things in the backfield in the mud, someone's going to get him.
Thank you for your time on an airplane, and we look forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
And have an enjoyable conversation.
Once she gets off the phone, we'll continue it. Yep.
Fabulous. Andrew, take care, buddy. Bye. Safe travels.
See you guys.
Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Things going back there today. You've had to take a lot of heat, especially about folks talking about the dome today. You are the gatekeeper to this show. Pride of Kenston. Come on, man. Help me out here, will you please?
There's been a lot of choice words back here.
You've been good? I mean, like, are you holding your own on this thing? I mean, it's...
Oh, absolutely.
It can be rough back there.
Hasn't been too bad. I've heard worse.
Okay, good. And has your life changed since you started? How long have you been at the station, just out of here?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Has your life changed? Do you feel like it's been, you know, just this amazing moment in your life that you're now here, and I'm sure people come up, ask for your autograph and stuff now?
So. I'm living the dream. Doing exactly what I've always wanted to do.
All right. Give a shout out to your family here. We can say what's up.
Shout out Mom, Sophia, my sister, finally coming home from the... from college for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
Yeah.
Little family affair. All right, so we're glad you're on board, and always local guy. We like local guys, right?
Absolutely.
Especially the guy from Wisconsin. We're good with that, too. Or is that just your family?
Just family.
Okay.
Cleveland's home.
Speaking of A guy you wouldn't want over for Thanksgiving, I think, is George Pickens. After last night, he's probably... Oh, we never answered. I never asked you the same question that I asked BA.
What?
Turkey, overrated, underrated? Of course, it's way more important.
Depending on how you make it. If you're just going to throw it in the oven, it's as overrated as it comes. If you're going to smoke it, it's outstanding. I haven't done the air fryer thing. We've never done the deep fryer where you know, if it's a frozen, you can light your garage on fire. We've never done that route, so... Or the air fryer that direction either. But yeah, smoked turkey, I'm all in. If you're just throwing it in the oven.
You deep fry, it's pretty quick, right? It's only like a half hour or something.
I've never done it. I can't tell you.
How long is it? Anyone know? I don't know. I'm sure someone knows.
I'm sure someone knows.
We have friends that deep fry turkey. I don't know. I'm just not. Is it me? And I've been this way for 13 years. If you ever listen, I'm not a huge turkey fan. Not. I mean, I'll eat it, but I'm always, you know, you eat so much before and there's so many great sides and there's always like. And so when it comes time and the plate of turkey's coming around or on Thanksgiving, you're kind of like, eh, I'll have a little bit of that. That's it. I can't overeat turkey. I'll be honest. There's a lot of people we know that can overeat turkey. Like, I like a good turkey sandwich every once in a while, but Gerard Cherry last night was talking like he was Bubba from Forrest Gump. You know, you deep fry it. You can bake it. You can... toast it. I don't know. He was coming up with a million different ways to make
That's
turkey.
Great.
And so we were laughing. It actually cost him the medal this week for Fact or Fiction, which we now hand out a trophy each week. So you might want to listen to the pregame show, the network pregame show, which is a lot of fun. But I think it's kind of overrated. I'm not going to lie. Now, sides, they'll never be underrated. So, all right, let me go back to what I was talking about. George Pickens, right? So yesterday at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, I'm like trying to figure out what's going on between that and that insane, like, is this going to be fourth down and two or is this going to be third down and seven play? How confusing was that?
Yeah,
because I don't get to hear the network announcers. So maybe I was listening to the radio call, but it was off by a little bit because I was listening on the app and I was trying to watch on a monitor that wasn't the TV monitor. It was a scoreboard monitor yesterday towards the end of the game. Can you explain to me what happened there? And then I want to get into the picking stuff.
I'm still trying to figure out exactly what took place. So,
I think, you know, what Mike Tomlin said, and that he thought, well, since the Browns were going to go for it on fourth and two, why not give them an extra down in this bad weather and let's go back to third and seven and decline? But well, first he accepted, then he declined. Then he
yeah, so that was the thought. But then I thought I read. I'm still trying to figure out that whole thing.
I mean, isn't there like final
by
like,
all of it?
When the official comes over, isn't it like final answer? I don't know how that you can go back and forth on it. And so we don't know what the conversation was that went back and forth on it, but it was kind of weird. Okay, let's just go into Pickens though, because that's really what I want to talk about, and I want to hear from him. I mean, afterwards, I'm reading all the stuff about, you know, he's like, you know, Cleveland's not a good team, and Greg Newsom's a fake tough guy, and let's blame the officials. Pickens is just like, man, I'm sorry. He's drawing a ton of attention to himself, and I don't know. If you like watching, you know, kids yell at each other after school, I guess he's great, but I'm just not a big Pickens fan. What do you say after the game? Well,
yeah, here's Steelers wide receiver George Pickens after the game.
What do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, you know, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
That's it, yeah, because they're a really good, bad condition team, and we're a really bad, bad condition team. Is that what that is? What does that mean? You're going to call out a team that beat you after the game that scored more points than you did.
This is so George Pickens.
And, they're not a good team. Well, you know, it's funny, I feel the same way against Cincinnati, but I'm not playing. And,
this is so Pickens. You know. This is what he does. Yeah. He is one of those guys who is a perpetual irritant. He looks for flags on every single play. He is always trying to start fights. He is always complaining to someone about something. He's just that kind of guy. And it got brought up what happened to Greg Newsom, who was going back and forth with Pickens during the game, and especially at the tail end of it. That Hail Mary, that got a little bit ugly. Here's what Newsom had to say.
You know, I don't think they respected us. I don't think a lot of teams respect us. So for us to, you know, come out here on Thursday Night Football and get a win was huge for us.
Yeah, two win teams don't get a whole lot of respect, do they?
I mean, why would you? New Orleans went for it early, right?
Yeah,
on fourth down, early at like the 50-yard line the week before. Yeah, no one respects you. You have two wins.
Yeah,
Newsom, you got to earn respect.
Newsom then went on to call Pickens a fake tough guy.
I like that, though. Like, I think pitchers are guys, bullpen guys, I think they're fake tough guys, too. You know why? Because they come running out of the bullpen, and then they're out of breath by the time they get the infield. And they're like, I'm like, why don't you guys just fight in the bullpen? If you really want to fight, just go fight in the bullpen. Let's get the bullpens. And right now, the bullpens are so close to each other, especially here. Just go at it out there. I got no problem with that.
There is a reason why that dude fell to the second round, and you're seeing it. And Mike Tomlin is doing everything in his power to try to keep the train on the tracks with him the same way he did with another former wide receiver who is way off the deep end, and also a running back who has voiced numerous complaints over a lot of times as well. This is how the Steelers operate. They'll bring these guys in, and they'll hope to, you know, with our culture and the Steeler way, be able to muzzle's a really bad way to put it, and I don't like saying that, but be able to back off some of the things that are being said. And that's
just so
that
not
was him at Georgia.
Can we be honest? It's just not Mike Tomlin.
It's
like,
a
I don't
bad
it's,
luck,
I don't
man.
Know.
You lost. It's okay. It happens. You lost. You don't have to sit there and go, well, you know, it was the elements. That's why we lost. No, we lost because we didn't play well enough. We lost because our defense wasn't able to cover Jerry Jeudy on a fourth down. We lost because we were not able to tackle when we needed to get tackles. And we lost because our offense didn't operate at a level that it needed to be to beat this Browns team.
And by the way, like, I didn't realize this until I was watching CBS that, you know, Mike Tomlin, for all the great that he is, and I think he's the second greatest coach in Steelers history behind Chuck Knoll, that he's 0-48, or there was 0-48 going into last night. So, was he 0-48? Maybe it happened last night. He's 0-48, the team is, under Mike Tomlin when they're down 12 or more points in the fourth quarter. So they're not exactly a comeback team with Mike Tomlin.
We lost because Myles Garrett came out with a vengeance, and we didn't have a way to stop him.
Oh, you're being a Steeler guy. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's it. That's the truth of the matter. Like, instead of doing this whole thing of, you know, it was the elements, it's like, no, you probably would have won that game if you would have found a better way to slow down Myles Garrett, who was clearly on a tear and was going to send a serious message to T.J. Watt, to the league itself, to everybody who came out after the Saints game and said, well, Myles Garrett didn't, you know, get any stat whatsoever in that game. That was a message. That was a message sender.
How about having your defense cover Jerry Jeudy last night? That might have helped, especially late,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You know, you got beat by Jameis Winston, who had never played in a game under 40 degrees and never played against you. That's really the reality of this whole thing. You got beat by Jameis Winston. Boom. Do I need to say more? I'll drop the mic at that point.
We lost. And if anybody's going to push you any further, you can always go with, hey, on any given Sunday, they have a game plan that could beat us.
Tim May, Letterman Row, Ohio State, Indiana. Massive matchup tomorrow at the Shoe. We'll talk about it next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.